Jason Galloway, the Wisconsin State Journal and Madison.com, now joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Jason, how you doing today?
I'm good, Bill. How are you doing?
Doing well. So the targeting call, it's a tough lesson to learn, but in the collegiate ranks, they are using it more and more and more, and they're becoming, I'm not going to say stricter about it, but it's basically, if you even come close, they're sending guys out of the ballgame.
Yeah, they are being pretty strict about it. I think in Nelson's case, it was, to me, that was a pretty clear targeting. I mean, it was a clear helmet-to-helmet shot against a defenseless receiver. So I think Nelson's just got to kind of learn from that and try to move on and make sure it doesn't happen again. Because, I mean, him being out for the first half of this Michigan game, especially with the other issues they have in the secondary and the injuries that they have, is a really big deal. And, I think with the targeting call, I think there are always going to be situations where I don't think you're ever going to be able to eliminate targeting penalties. You know, I think even the guys that are the most careful are going to go in there and accidentally hit somebody helmet to helmet, at some point or another. But mm-hmm. it's they're just trying to make the game safer, and it's just something you kind of got to deal with.
So looking at not having him out, that you talked about, how much this could hurt this team. What do you expect Michigan to do in the first half as opposed to the second half?
Well, I don't think they'll really – I don't know if they'll change their game plan between the first half and second half too much. I think they'll probably try to get the running game going early and to try to kind of set up their play-action game. You know, Wisconsin struggled against the run against BYU and Iowa. And, those teams got in a lot of third manageable situations and kind of took Wisconsin's defense out of their game a little bit. And so even though Eldon Nelson is going to be out, I don't know if Michigan's going to necessarily – change their game plan and try to go at Eric Burrell from the very start. Maybe they will, but I kind of think they're going to more play their game. And I think they probably feel like offensively they're going to be able to move the ball regardless of whether Nelson's in there or Burrell's in there. So I think they're going to feel like they can have success against the secondary, especially if they're able to kind of set up that running game first.
What do you make of Michigan first and foremost?
It's a team that, I wasn't sure how to gauge them early in the season. I'm starting to feel a little bit better about their prospects than maybe I was early on in the year. That Notre Dame loss is looking, not too bad right now with Notre Dame up at number five, I believe now. And, they've had some slow starts in some games, but they've been able to kind of turn it on in the second half. Like last week against Maryland, that game was close for a while, but they found a way to just kind of, pull away at the end. And I think they're just kind of taking care of business right now. So, I think it's one of the best defenses in the country, and I think Shea Patterson at quarterback kind of gives them a little bit, kind of something they didn't have last year once Wilton Spate got injured and they had to kind of cobble things together with O'Korn and with Peters. So I think having a stable quarterback back there, I think their offensive line is probably playing a little better than they have the last couple of years as well. So I think it's a really talented team that can do. Can definitely be a real contender in the East this year.
For as much as they look for Zach Gentry downfield, Peoples-Jones, he's been the go-to guy when it comes to getting into the end zone. His longest is a 41-yard touchdown. He's also got five TDs on the season. That seems to be the guy in the red zone they're looking for.
Yeah, I think so. And, he's a dangerous guy in the return game, too. I think he's going to be a guy that Wisconsin's going to have to keep an eye on this whole game. And, that's the thing. I think with this Wisconsin defense is, with Daron Harrell and Caesar Williams potentially being out, you may have to stick a true freshman and Rashad Wild Goose out there for a lot of snaps. And, we already mentioned Eric Burrell having to start the first half. So I think that, I think the weapons they have at receiver and in the passing game can really take advantage of that. And it's going to be interesting to see, like we mentioned earlier, kind of if Michigan does anything differently than they normally do. I think they still feel like with Isaiah Loudermilk out, especially, they can probably take advantage of the running game as well. So it's, it's going to be interesting to see if this defense can, what this defense can do. Cause I mean, I said this on my podcast earlier this week, but if those corners are out and Isaiah Loudermilk was just ruled out today, actually, if those guys can't play and maybe Van Ginkel is still not 100% healthy, I think this game has a little bit of blowout potential if the defense can't really come together. Like you'd hope with those guys out, but we'll have to wait and see if they're able to kind of contain things.
I know Jonathan Taylor has about 150 short of 1,000 yards already this season, but give me your thoughts on Jonathan Taylor. He's got eight touchdowns. He's been featured, but he hasn't necessarily separated himself from everybody else when it comes to that Heisman chase. Does he need a big game on national TV to kind of put himself back in that spotlight?
Yeah, I think as far as if he's actually going to go and win it for a Wisconsin team that at this point very likely will not be in the playoffs, I think he does have to have, at some point he has to have that Heisman game, whether it's on a nationally televised game, whether it's this week against Michigan or the game at Penn State or a potential Big Ten championship game. And, I think for him, if Wisconsin's not going to go win the Big Ten or be in the playoffs, I think he's that kind of puts the onus on him to put up, even more stats to try to stay in the conversation. I think he's got to have some type of signature moment in a big game that's nationally televised. You know, it doesn't necessarily have to be this week. They'll have a couple more chances later in the year, and the later in the year you do that, the more people remember it when they're voting on the award. But I think if he goes out there against a defense like this and puts up a big number, that could really go a long way.
Hornibrook, 7 touchdowns, 2 picks. He has thrown some ill-advised passes, but his quarterback rating has not been bad. He's just under 1,000 yards. But talk about his play, because he's had a couple of ugly ones. Go back to that game against BYU and you just kind of scratch your head. But he has not been the total bad decision maker that we kind of saw last year. He's been better.
Yeah, I think he has. You know, the BYU interception was really bad. It was a really poor decision, and that really kind of turned that game around. It was BYU was able to turn that into a touchdown that gave them the lead in the third quarter and kind of gave them a lot of momentum. But I think outside of that, he's been really good. Like you said, 2 interceptions in 5 games. You know, he's on pace for way less than that number than he had last year. And I think he's been really efficient so far. You know, I think he's his completion percentage is up a little bit. And I think you still want maybe him and the Badgers passing game and as a whole to kind of find some more explosive plays. They really haven't had that since the first couple games of this season. They haven't been able to find those deep passes downfield, and Quintez Cephas not being there, doesn't help things obviously. But I think they're going to want to try to at some point open things up to try to at least use the play action game to hit some shots downfield. But I think outside of that pick against BYU, Hornibrook's at least been really efficient this year, and a guy that hasn't thrown a lot of interceptions.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned Cephas, and I know it's not football related to this Michigan game, but just give me your thoughts on what's going on out there with Cephas, the investigation, him now suing the school for a rights violation. So give me your thoughts on what's going on there.
Yeah, it's kind of a strange situation. He with him suing the university at this point, and he's the strange thing about it is, he's with his suspension, he's still kind of allowed to use Wisconsin's facilities. He just can't be with the team and be part of team activities. So I've actually seen him, around the facilities, and he was catching balls in the McLean Center the other day. And yet he's suing the university for the investigation into what he did. So it's kind of a strange situation. He did plead not guilty to his criminal charges earlier today. So it looks like the trial is going to be a long drawn out process. And so we're not going to get resolution on that for a long time. What happens with him taking action against the university is going to be really interesting to see how that plays out. I haven't really seen anything like that before. I'm not sure if there's a precedent or not. But I guess it's just something to kind of wait and see on.
I was going to say, is there something, because I don't know specifically how this works. I understand legally where they're coming from. How can you conduct an investigation and participate in it with the university if you are right now kind of quashed from the legal proceeding and your attorney doesn't want you talking? How can they proceed with an investigation into you? You know what I mean? It's
yeah.
You can't go in any way, shape, or form incriminate yourself or give out details to the university because it all pertains to a criminal case, and the university can't complete their case without knowing the details. So they basically say silence is deadly, and therefore, we're going to go ahead and continue to investigate. I mean, it kind of interferes with the other, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think it does kind of make sense what Cephas' lawyers are doing here. When you really look at it that way, and it's like I said, I haven't really heard of a situation like this happening before, but what they're arguing here does make a lot of sense, like you just laid out. So it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out, because I think they do have a real case for that. And like I said, there's no precedent for this, so I'm not really sure exactly you know, how this is going to play out, but it's really an interesting situation at this point.
Talking with Jason Galloway of the Wisconsin State Journal, this is a big game for both teams in the sense that if they lose, specifically Michigan loses this game at home, another blemish on their record, and for, you know, any hopes of trying to climb through the ranks sitting at number 12 would be pretty much quashed at this point. And if the Badgers would get a road win like this, this could vault them maybe back up near the top 10. And after that, maybe who knows. But the huge game for both programs, because the loser is done as far as any hopes and any shot at all of ever getting back to the Final Four, correct?
Yeah, that's kind of the biggest thing I look at this game. And, you know, a lot of people have already counted Wisconsin out of the playoffs. But until they lose that second game, I mean, they're not completely out of it. I mean, I talked to some of the players this week about it, actually, and they kind of still are under the, whether it's naive or not, they're under the belief that they are capable of winning out and, you know, winning at Michigan, winning at Penn State, and winning the Big Ten championship game and getting back into contention for the playoffs. So in that terms, it's a really big game for both teams. Like you said, that the loser is pretty much just out of all that conversation, and especially for Michigan, I think. You know, they have so much competition in the East already. They can't really afford to lose a crossover game like this before they go into their games against the, you know, the Penn States and Ohio States of the world. So, you know, I think for them, finishing, you know, third and fourth in the last few years in the Big Ten East, they really got to make sure they get this one at home. And I think if you're Wisconsin, it does give you the opportunity to. I think people are not expecting you to win this game at this point. It gives you the opportunity to get back in the national conversation. And. And, you know, if you win this one, you're probably going to go into that Penn State game, the third to last game of the year, with only one loss still. And, you know, at that point, you're kind of in the picture a little bit. So, like you said, huge game for both teams here. And the loser is going to be, you know, feeling like they're really out of it at that point.
Good stuff as always, Jason. We appreciate it. We'll talk again soon, okay?
All right, thank you.
All right, pal, talk to you later. There you go. Jason Galloway, the Wisconsin State Journal, Madison.com, joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider, hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80-plus years, I've been getting it done. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to SchneiderJobs.com.